preaching in a series called Daring Faith, A Life of Miracles. Who could use a miracle in your life? Amen. Last week we talked about the laws of multiplication, sowing and reaping, that you have what you have based off the seed that you've released. And so today we're going to look at what to do while you're waiting for your harvest. Because there is a season of time, and I don't know about you, but I think everyone hates waiting. When you go to the doctor's office, they put you in a what? Hospital. Waiting room. Emergency room. Waiting room. You know, you have to hurry up and get there to wait. It's the most craziest thing. The doctor wants you to show up early, and you just have to wait. Who hates waiting in traffic? I don't even like to leave my house anymore. Traffic is so bad. Why? You don't want to wait. There's so many things that just drive you crazy. You know, so some of us, we're waiting for God to open the door for a job, waiting for God to answer our prayer. Just, there's a lot of waiting as believers, and it's part of life, and there's a lot of waiting in life. We don't like to even wait in line for Disney World, Astro World, Six Flags, right? You buy a pass where you don't have to wait. A fast pass. You pay extra, you get a fast pass for $100 per person or something. I'm too cheap to buy that. I say that the waiting is part of the excitement of the ride, because, you know, you're waiting, you're anticipating. And, you know, sometimes you wait so long, you get so scared. Either you get so scared you don't want to get on the ride, or you wait so long you forgot you were afraid to get on the ride, and you get on the ride anyway. Right? You're like, you waited so long. Like, why was I? What were we doing? Where are we at? Oh, we're at Disney World. Oh, well, we're at Six Flags. Wow. We're about to get on the ride. So the waiting time is really a time God uses to build character, and it's a time God uses to set you up for the miracle he wants to release. Now, if you're like me, like all people, we're impatient, we don't like to wait, and sometimes we'll settle for second best. And God never wants you to settle in your life for half the blessing. Amen? God wants the full favor. He wants to release the full blessing. He wants to release the full seed upon your life. If you put a seed, he wants to release the full harvest. And so we're going to show you what to do while you're waiting. Okay? So the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God does everything just right and on time. When does he do it? Just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he is doing. If you could understand what God was doing, then you would be God, right? If you understood everything God was doing behind the scenes, then you would be God. You're not God. He's God. And you don't understand, and you're never going to understand. And for those who always think and want to know everything, when you're waiting for your harvest, you're not going to understand the time and the seasons when you're waiting. But just know it is a setup for a greater blessing. Waiting is as much as faith as it does taking the initiative to plant the seed. It actually is easy to plant the seed than it is to wait. It takes lots of faith to wait on the harvest that you planted in someone's life, in a relationship. It takes a long time. If you planted bad seed as a husband to your wife, and then you have one day of being nice, the whole time that you planted bad seed just doesn't erase in an hour. Poor guys. I wish it was that simple, but no, she remembers all the other seeds you planted that weren't good. And they want like months of consistent seed sowing before any kind of change takes place. Amen. And enough men here today to help me out. So waiting can be a much more matter of trust than taking the risk of planting the seed. But just know, point number one, remember there is a natural delay between planting and reaping. This is going to help you, because you're going to plant seed and you're going to want an instant gratification, instant response. It does not work that way ever. I took an avocado seed about 6 weeks ago, and I stuck toothpicks. Well, I stuck shish kebab sticks in it because I didn't have toothpicks. I put it in a glass jar, filled it full of water, and I set it on the windowsill. And guess what? Nothing has happened on that seed. And I've been waiting for that seed and waiting. And so yesterday I got frustrated. Fran's like, tired of seeing it too. She's like, that's disgusting. Get that out of the window. That's so gross. I'm like, but we're going to get a tree out of that. We're going to get avocados eventually. And so I get mad. I'm like, man, forget it. This thing's a dud. Because I looked on the internet and they said after 6 weeks, if nothing happens, throw it away and put another seed out. So I'm arguing with Fran about, oh no, we're going to get another one up there in the window. She's like, no, you're not. It doesn't work. You know, it's genetically modified. And I grab it and I flip it up and I'm about to throw it away. And it had sprouted and broken the inside and started growing its roots. Now, it took longer. It's been actually 7 weeks. They said throw it away, but it took time just for the seed to cultivate. And God's saying, hey, your seed, depending on what it is, takes time to cultivate. I have a peach tree we've thrown out and planted it. It grows fruit, but the raccoons keep eating all the peaches off of it every year. So I took one of those seeds and I looked up, okay, what do I need to do to prep the seed? It has to stay in the refrigerator 2 months before I can even plant it. So in June, I'm going to pull the thing out and prep the seed just to go in the ground in my backyard, because I just threw them out in the fields, right? I'm just throwing seed everywhere. It grew on the field beside me, and it grew like 2 or 3 trees, but the wild animals keep eating them. So I want that harvest for us. So we're like, hey, I need to put that in our yard to make sure I can let the dogs guard that thing. So I'm getting a little bit smarter. But can you imagine 2 months of waiting just for the seed to prep? But when it grows into a tree and it produces avocados and that thing produces peaches, it was going to be worth the wait, because it's a legacy seed. That means as long as I live in that property, I'll always have a harvest coming on all those things. And that's the same thing with you. You have to know that there is a time of waiting in between when you plant and when you harvest. Ecclesiastes 3 says there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to scatter and a time to gather. So write this down. I reap in a different season than I sow. I know I talked about that last week, but I just want to throw it out there again, because you can real easily forget. You're going to reap in a different season. During the season of waiting, you wait quietly, you wait expectantly, and you wait patiently in faith. And you don't give up on your seed. The cool thing about the seed of God, they says they're incorruptible. What does that mean? That the enemy can't destroy your seed. If you planted a seed, whether it be your tithe or whether you put a seed of the gospel in somebody, that seed is indestructible. That means it can't be destroyed. It will bear a harvest. That's the only guarantee you have in the entire world that you're going to get a harvest on your return, is when you plant a seed in the spiritual realm, because it is never damaged. It will always bear fruit. So you have to be patient. Number two, remember there is an unseen battle going on. This is very important. There's an unseen battle. You can't see it. Daniel chapter 10 in the book of the Old Testament, Daniel was praying and fasting 21 days, right? He was praying, he's fasting, he's praying, he's waiting. There's no answer, there's no answer, there's no answer. And about the time he gave up, an angel showed up, Archangel Michael showed up and says, hey, listen, as soon as you prayed, I was coming with the answer, but I was held up by principalities and powers. I was held up. There was spiritual warfare. Do you know the spiritual warfare over your seed? That's why it's so important that you worship. That's why it's so important you don't give up on faith. That's why you keep confessing the word over the seed that you have planted, because there is spiritual warfare over it. And then what the devil do? Once you plant your seed, I guarantee you, all kinds of doubt just begins to bombard your brain. Right or wrong? Ephesians 6:12 says, we are not struggling and fighting against human beings, but evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, the rulers, authorities, and powers of darkness. And what they do is they throw darts of doubt, darts of discouragement, darts of disappointment, darts of delay, darts of depression. All those things will happen when you're waiting on a harvest. You just start having all kinds of fear hit your brain. What do you do at that time while you're waiting? You stand in faith and you doubt the doubt. So you say no. Why? Because doubts are made for doubting and beliefs are made for believing. Don't doubt your beliefs and beliefs your doubt. That's wrong. You believe your beliefs and you doubt your doubts. Everyone say, doubt my doubts. Believe my beliefs. So this is the point where your faith is really activated. You're saying, man, I believe in God. God is going to come through. He's going to do what he says. My harvest is coming. It's coming in the right season. And it will come right on God's time. A delay does not mean a denial. Point number three, remember God is preparing me for his blessing. When we have an idea of the harvest that we're waiting on, it's usually smaller than what God wants to release in our lives. Ephesians is real clear about what it says. God will do exceedingly more than we can ask, hope, or even imagine. Now, if you've ever waited on a harvest from the Lord, there, you know, and you wanted it to come quickly. It's the same thing in the natural. If I plant seeds in the ground and they're not giving the harvest when I want it, I don't go dig the seed up and eat it. It's too late. I have to wait for it. If you want carrots or tomatoes or whatever, it has a season of harvest. And when it's harvesting, like the peach tree, I could have got the peaches earlier, but they weren't ready. Justice is my little farmer. She's out there with me. We're like checking the peaches every day. Let's go check the peaches. So and they all ripen at different times. So we actually were able to get some of them that were big and juicy and delicious. And the other ones were small and green and they weren't ready. God does the same thing. He'll release a little bit of the harvest because the harvest that you've planted your seed on will come, but it will come in the right season. You don't want to get out there and just rip everything down before it's time. It won't be as delicious. It won't be good. So God usually has a bigger idea and a better plan than you. Have you ever been looking for a job and you're like, oh man, I need a job so bad. I want a job. I want a job. I want a job. I need a job. And you're waiting for this job. And then a job opportunity comes, but it was nothing you've been praying or asking about. Right? And you're like, okay, do I take it? Because I need a job. And you can take the job. And then the next day, the one you wanted opens up. And you're like, oh man, I already took the job that I didn't want to get. What do I do? You know? Sometimes it happens that way as well. We jump ahead of God. That's why it takes a lot of faith to say, God, I'm going to trust you right now. I'm believing that the seeds that I've sown is going to come back to me in the right season. Do not sabotage God's bigger harvest for your life. Even though it's necessary for you to endure many trials for a while, these troubles test your faith. This is a test. The testing of your faith show that you are strong and pure, just as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. Some of y'all right now, you're waiting for a harvest, and you're going through all kinds of hell. And you're just upset. Why are we seeing change in this relationship? I'm changing. There's no fruit yet. There's no fruit at my job. I've been serving people. I stopped talking bad about everybody at the workplace. You begin to change. Don't quit. What do you do when you begin to get that attack? You keep going. The devil doesn't want you to have the blessing. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to stop doing what you're doing. Stop sowing. Stop sowing good seeds. Stop sowing. He wants you to stop because he doesn't want you to have a harvest. He wants you to be upset with God and mad at God and think that God doesn't love you and he's not setting you up for something. But you have to push through those things. And you have to realize sometimes promotion doesn't come until you have the character to be at that place of promotion. The only thing you take with you to heaven is your character. The only thing you're going to take with you. When you go to heaven, you're going to take your character. So God always uses tests and the season of waiting to build you up, build your faith, build your integrity, build your character. He used that time of the fire and the testing to make you better in the inside of who you are, at the core of who you are. It tests your trust. It tests your faith. It tests your endurance. It tests all kinds of things in your life. Waiting is a test. It's like being pregnant. The seed goes in. They let you know, hey, you're pregnant. And then you get excited. It's called being expecting. You're expecting a baby. You kind of know it kind of when it's going to come. 9 or 10 months-ish around. Or if you go to the doctor and they induce labor, you kind of can plan some of that. But, you know it's coming. And the closer you get as a woman and the bigger mama gets and the more hungry she gets and the more craving she has and she gets through the throw up stage every morning and the morning sickness and then she gets into the eat everything stage and then she gets to the strong, I feel great, I'm pregnant, super mom stage and then she goes into I'm dying, get this baby out, I can't do anything stage. Right? And there's all those stages. But just because you want the baby when you find out you're pregnant, it just doesn't come out. You're not going to abort the child to try to see the baby, it'll die. It has to mature. It has to grow. And so does what the seed, what God's doing inside of you. You have to allow that spiritual seed to grow and to do its work. And you just have to be like a pregnant mama and just excited, preparing. What do? You have a baby shower. You get a baby room together. Then mama's going to a nesting phase, right? They start getting the house clean and spring clean, even though it's not spring. And they just go into frenzy. We need to paint. We need to clean. We need to fix the roof leak. I mean, all this. I mean, you're like, going, it didn't bother you before. What are we doing? Remodeling. Baby's coming, right? Why? It's that nesting. It's the expectation. Something is on the way. And that's what you do when you plant a seed. You begin to prep yourself. If you've planted a financial harvest and you don't have a savings account and you've not talked to an investor about investing money or working in the stock market or doing something, you expecting a harvest, you say, hey, something's going to happen. I better get some money. I better open an account. I better start getting ready for investment. I need to do some research. When money comes my way, where am I going to put it? Because I just can't splurge it because I want that thing to continue to bring harvest to my life. And so you act like a pregnant woman when you're planting seed. You prep for it. If your husband's a big moron and a jerk and you're planting seeds of love and praying for him and encouraging him, you're prepping for his change. Same thing with your wife. You have to start prepping yourself for the change in your family. You start making the little steps of preparation that, hey, God is doing a miracle. Even though I can't see it, I'm not going to quit. So you just keep pushing through the test, because that's where your faith really is tested. It's not tested until you're in a test. So waiting is very hard. I love what Romans 8 says. It says, waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant woman. We are enlarged in the waiting. We don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become. Just like a pregnant woman. The longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joy of our expectation. Meanwhile, we get tired in the waiting. God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us all the way. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit in us is for us. He knows far better than we know ourselves and knows our pregnant condition. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our life, our lives of love for God, is working into something good. Isn't that powerful? So I want you to think about your seed just like you're pregnant. You're expecting, you're excited, you're acting like something great is on the way, and you know that God is going to release the harvest. Number four, remember, I'm in good company when I wait. You're not alone. Every believer that's ever walked the face of the earth had it sowing and it had harvesting. Sowing and reaping. And every single believer had a time frame of waiting. And I want to give you a list. Think about Hannah, who waited years before she could have Samuel, her baby. Years. How about Moses, who waited 40 years, right? He waited 40 years. Joseph waited his whole life of slavery. And then in prison, and he was completely innocent until God released a suddenly moment in his life. I mean, think about some of the people in Scripture. You think, man, that's a long, long time to wait. Moses waited 40. Abraham waited 100 years after he was given the promise. You're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to make you great. And he says, I don't have a baby. You're going to make a baby. Now let me wait 100 years till you're old and crusty and nothing can go on between you and your wife and everything don't work and broke. And then now you're going to have a miracle baby. 100 years. I mean, that's pretty bad. You know, we're not good about waiting in our culture because everything's like immediate. Your cell phone's blowing up right now with all kinds of information and you could just have everything you want now. But on God's system, there's no now. He always has a season of waiting. This is one that just really got me. How about Noah? 120 years Noah waited before it rained. Can you imagine how foolish Noah seemed? They had never seen rain at that time. The earth didn't rain. It just dewed real heavy in the morning. There was no rain. He says, hey, there's a rain coming. They're like, oh, really? What's rain? He had to explain rain. He goes, yeah, it's going to flood. They're like, what's a flood? We don't know. What are you talking about? You sound like a crazy lunatic. And you can imagine like the first year, he's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm building a boat because there's a rain. It doesn't rain, you idiot. Year two, there's a flood coming. Year 50. There's a flood. Year 100. There's rain and a flood. Year 124 in 11 months. I mean, at what point do you just lose your mind? 120 years before it rained. But Noah never stopped believing, and he prepped the entire time. Abraham never stopped believing, but he prepared the entire time. Hebrews 6:15 says, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised to him. Waiting is the essential to our faith. Number five, remember God always keeps his promises. Always keep your promises if you want to keep your friends. Listen, God always keeps his promises. He doesn't lie. If he says it, he's going to do it. And he's going to do it in the season in which you need it. There's been times that I've thought I needed to harvest and I was waiting for finances to come in. It didn't come in when I wanted. Not that we were like crazy hurting. And I was like, oh man, we've been waiting on this thing. You know, you're upset. And then, you know, a month later, you really, really, really need some. And then that thing comes in the mail like, oh, I'm so glad you didn't answer me, Lord, because I would have blown that on some fun stuff. Right? We'd have been like, oh yeah, we got money, Let's go out to eat. Yeah, right. Oh yeah, let's go buy that. You know, and then like, you know, then that next month would have happened, it would have been like drought, like, ugh. But God knows. And he knows us. He knows how we are. He knows each and every one of us in detail. So sometimes that miracle you're waiting for, he knows you won't splurge it. And says, no, you don't have you're not ready enough to save like I've taught you. You know, you're gonna get it and not save it, or you're gonna splurge it. So I'm going to wait till I know, because he sees your future. And so he releases the harvest when it's a blessing for you and a testimony for him. Amen. So remember, he keeps his promises. You can count on God to come through for you. So what do you do while you're in the waiting room? You do not focus on what you don't have. You don't focus that there's no money. You don't focus that you don't feel talented. You don't focus that you don't have connections. You don't focus on that you don't see any opportunity. You don't focus on what you do have. You focus on what you don't have. You focus on what you do have. You have a God that's all powerful. You focus on the promises of God. And the Bible says you keep those promises in front of you and you confess the promise. Man, that job is coming. My promotion is on the way. You know, if you look at Jesus, he called Simon Peter. He called him Peter. He says, no, you're not going to be a reed, Simon. You're going to be a rock, Peter. When he went to Abraham, he said, Abraham, he was named Abram. And I'll change your name to Abraham. He's father of many nations. And everywhere he would go, they would say, hi, I'm father of many nations. And then they would say, oh, really? How many children do you have? I don't have any. But Abraham still called himself Abraham. What was he doing? He was hanging on to the promise. He was confessing the promise. He was speaking his things as not as though they were. And that's how you get out of your situation. You speak the things as not as though they were. You can't keep calling your husband a loser because he's going to keep being a loser. You got to call him a champion. You're like, no, I'm not. He should be wrong. No, you have the same thing with wife. You know, you don't want to call her nasty names. You want to call her good names. Even though sometimes in seasons of marriage, you hate each other and you want to call each other bad names. And it takes control and it takes faith. And by the mercy and grace of God, he will help us to remember to speak the promises of God while we're waiting. We focus on him. I love Habakkuk 2:3 says, God says, at this time I have decided my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. So here's four things for wait. W-A-I-T. Number one, write down the lessons that you're learning. Just write it down. If God gave you a promise, write it down. God gave you a vision, write it down. I'm not saying make a diary and write. You don't have to write on everything. And you're like, oh, I went to the store. Then we went to Starbucks. And then someone cut me off. And, you know, and then so-and-so made me mad and I hurt my feelings. No, that's a diary. You don't have to do that. I'm just saying write it down somewhere. God gave you a promise. You need to have it where you can go back to it when you forget and you're feeling under the attack. You're going to get attacked. But you need to write it in your Bible, write it in the notes, write it in the journal, put it on your screensaver. God said that my harvest is coming. And always remind yourself of that. So write it down. Number two, act as though you already have it. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. The idea of believing that you've received it is constant. Even though you don't have it, you act like you do. Just like a woman who's pregnant. She doesn't have the baby, but she acts like she already has the baby before the baby even comes. Even though the baby's in her and developing, your vision and your dream, your passion is growing inside of you, you've got to act like you have it. The best thing to do when you're looking for a job is to get up every morning, get dressed, get going, get moving, just like you would if you had a job. Because the more you do, the more you can do. The more you lay around, the more you want to lay around. No one wants to amen me on that one. Amen? Right? I'm going to tell you, you're more successful in life with the more things you have on your calendar. Why? You just are, you're more disciplined. But when you have, so if I took, when I was in college, I would take 18 hours. Man, I had good grades. I was on top of everything. When I would take like 12, they'd be like, oh, I got plenty of time to do that paper. Ah, that's going to be easy. I don't need to study. Yeah, I'm only taking 4 classes. That's no big deal. Right? You know, and then it would be like, bad grit. Like, why am I having such bad grit? I had to get back to taking more, because the more you do, the more you can do. So if you're feeling lazy, you're feeling tired with no energy, you have to go do something. More movement causes more movement. If you're having inflammation and your body hurts, start moving it and it won't hurt anymore. It's a crazy thing how it works. So act as though you already have it. That's what Romans 4:17. God calls things as not as though they already are. That's called faith. Everything God created, He spoke into existence. He calls things as not as though they were. Begin to call your marriage blessed. Begin to call your wife a blessing. Begin to call your husband a man of God. Begin to call your kid, your children, what you want them to be, not who they are. Amen. That was a good longer amen moment than that. I in wait. So W was right. The A is act. The I is imitate the habits of growing strong faith. Imitate habits that grow strong faith. Peter 1:6 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what they promised. Don't become lazy, but imitate. You've got to imitate faith. And so what does that look like? Habits. Good habits. Keep on praying. Keep on serving. Keep on going to your small group. Keep on sowing your seed. Keep on believing God's promise is coming. This is how everybody has to do it. You're in the waiting room. You just don't. You have to keep your faith activated. 2 Timothy 3 says, you must keep on believing the things that you have been taught that you know are true. The point is just stay active in your faith. If you're waiting, that you can feel depressed, you say, I'm not going to come to church. I feel sick. I'm not going to go and be with around Christian people. I feel oppressed. I don't want. The best thing for you is to come to worship. It energizes you. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up as wings as eagles. There's something supernatural about you coming when you're sick. God will bring healing to your body, bring strength, bring health, bring renewal when you get around other believers, when you get in an atmosphere of worship, when you get an atmosphere of heaven. So keep pushing forward. Amen. Keep on praying. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the doors will be open. Number 2, keep on serving. Romans 12:11. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. This will sharpen your skills. Keep on going to small group. Hebrews 10:25. Do not give up your habit of meeting with other believers. Instead, keep on encouraging each other. You showing up to church encourages other people that are here in church. Because when we show up and no one's here, it's real discouraging, not only for the pastor, for everyone around you. Don't you like to come to church and it be full? Right? When new people are coming, people are getting saved, and people are going like, you're like, it gets exciting. Like, wow, man, someone got to heart the Lord. Someone got healed. Oh, good. So we got to keep on coming when you don't feel it. And you say, look, I'm not going for me because I don't want to go. I'm going for everybody else because if I don't show up, man, it ain't going to be the same. That's how important you are here to Diverse City Church. When you don't show up, it is a huge void for us because we love you so much and we want to see you. We don't get to see you all week long, but it's our time to see your face, to hug your neck. You encourage me and I want to encourage you. We want to encourage one another. So keep on sowing, which is number 4 in the keep on, keeping ons. Ecclesiastes 11:6. Keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which one is going to grow. Perhaps they all will. So when do you stop tithing? Never. You just keep on doing it. When do you stop giving? You don't. You keep on doing it because a harvest is coming. And then the last one was keep on believing. 2 Timothy 3:14, you must keep on believing the things in which you have been taught. You know they are true. Keep believing. I love what Smith Wigglesworth says. He says, I'd rather die in faith than live in doubt. Living a life of doubt is horrible. Life of fear is horrible. I'd rather just believe God and die, believe in Him, than living a whole life in doubt. I'd rather believe God that my harvest and have the expectancy, because expectancy is exciting. When your wife is pregnant, when your family members are pregnant, how many of y'all get excited? I mean, when you find out someone's pregnant, everyone gets excited, even if it's their 100th kid. Except Fran, she's like, no, I don't get excited. You had two hard pregnancies. She's like, why? What is wrong with you? No. Most people see someone pregnant and they're excited. They, oh, a little baby's coming. Oh, how special. How cute. Oh, they're not thinking about the bills and the boogers and the paying for them and the sleepless nights and the vomit on your best outfit and all that. You're thinking about the sweet, cute, fuzzy part, like a little cute puppy coming, right? So that's what you got to do with your faith. You got to be excited. You got to be expecting. You have to have that, man, I'm prepping. I'm getting ready. And the last one I said, trust God instead of panicking. Here are some facts that you can do. Trust God. God is never in a hurry. You can know that for sure. Okay? Why? Because good things come to those who wait. 100%. Number two, God is never late. You can know that for sure. God's timing is always perfect. Last verse I want to read. Maybe you can throw it on the screen. I don't know if you have it in your notes. Galatians 6, 9. And then I'm going to pray for you on this awesome Mother's Day. 6, 9. Galatians 6, 9. And it says, so let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. There's no condition to that. It says we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not get discouraged and give up. I want to pray that we don't get discouraged and give up on our seeds. Amen. Let's stand and close in prayer today. Father, as we stand before your presence, we're here encouraging one another. We're being faithful to your house. We're being faithful in our giving. We're being faithful in our dreaming. We're being faithful and diligent with the talents and the abilities you've given us. And we know that, Lord, there's greater things. We go from glory to glory. There's never a moment while we're living that we should plateau, that we say, hey, this is the best of who I am. Because with you, all things are possible. With you, we get better and better every day, every year. We grow in wisdom. We grow in stature. Lord God, we grow in faith. We grow in expectancy. We grow in our dream. The things that we can accomplish as we get older, we can do more. The money that we can invest becomes more. The time, the talent, the treasure, everything about our lives should always be getting better. God, we may start small and seem insignificant, but Lord, just like the kingdom, it's the smallest seed inside the garden, but when it grows, it becomes the biggest tree. And I speak life over our people, and I speak life over their seed. I speak life, God, over their harvest, and I praise you and thank you that your Holy Spirit inside of them is going to pray through them. And they're going to be expecting for their miracle, God. And they're going to say, Lord, if what I'm expecting is too small, I give you the right to do something greater. If this man I'm trying to marry is not the right one, I give you the freedom to take him out of my life to give me the right one, the right woman, the right position. If this job's not the right one for me, God, I believe you're going to open up the right one for me, God. And I believe, Lord, that we're not going to get discouraged, that our faith is going to stand high as we realize we're in spiritual warfare concerning our seed. And if we keep speaking life over the seed that we planted, it is going to come, and it's going to come right on time in the right season that we get the most benefit out of it and you get the most glory. Give us strength and give us the faith, the daring faith to wait patiently in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We love you so much. Happy Mother's Day to the moms.